Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 6. Dharmasya Daksha Duhitari Ajanishta Murtyam Narayano Nara Iti Swa Tapaha Prabhava Drisvatmano Bhagavato Niyama Valopam Devyas Tvananga Pritana Gatitum Na Shekuhu Dharmasya Daksha Duhut Turi Ajanista Murtyam Narayano Narayati Swatapa Prabhavaha Drisvatmano Bhagavato Niyamavalopam Devya Svananga Pritana Gati Tum Na Shekuhu Dharmasya Daksha Du Hitari Yajanista Murtyam Narayano Narayati Swatapa Prabhavaha Sri Svatmano Bhagavato Niyamavalopam Devya Svananga Pritana Gatitum Nashekuhu Dharmasya Daksha Duhiti Riyad Dharmasya Daksha Duhitar Yajanista Murtyam Narayano Narayati Swatapa Prabhavaha Drisvatmano Bhagavato Niyamavalopam Devya Svananga Pritana Gati Tum Na Shekuhu Dharmasya Daksha Duhitarya Janista Murtyam Narayano Narayati Svatapa Prabhava Vasya Daksha Duhitarya Janista Murtyam. Narayano Narati Satapapa. Siddhaksha Duhitarya Jnisa Murtyam. Vaishnavis. Dharmasya Daksha Duhitarya Janista Murtyam. Narayano Narati Swatapaswava. Sananga Pitana Gatitam Shekhu Daksha Duhitarya Janisa Murtyam. Dharmasya, of Dharma, the controller of religious principles. Daksha, Daksha, one of the Prajapatis. Duhitari, unto the daughter. Ajanista, took birth. Murtyam, of the name Murti. Narayanaha, Narayana. Naraha, Nara. Iti, thus. Swatapaha, personal penances. Prabhavaha, strength. Drista, by seeing. Atmanaha, of his own. Bhagavata, of the personality of Godhead. Niyama avalopam, breaking the vow. Devyaha, celestial beauties. To, but. Ananga Pritana, companion of Cupid. Gatitum, to happen. Na, never. Shekahu, made possible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: to exhibit his personal way of austerity and penance, he appeared in twin forms as Narayana and Nara in the womb of Murti, the wife of Dharma and the daughter of Daksha. Celestial beauties, the companions of Cupid, went to try to break his vows, but they were unsuccessful, for they saw that many beauties like them were emanating from him, the personality of Godhead. The purport. It's a kind of a lengthy purport, but I'm going to go through it. The Lord, being the source of everything that be, is the origin of all austerities and penances also. Great vows of austerity are undertaken by sages to achieve success and self-realization. Human life is meant for such tapasya, with the great vow of celibacy or brahmacharya in the rigid life of tapasya, there is no place for the association of women. And because human life is meant for tapasya, for self-realization, factual human civilization, as conceived by the system of Sanatana Dharma, or the school of four castes and four orders of life, prescribes rigid disassociation from woman in three stages of life. In the order of gradual cultural development, one's life may be divided into four divisions: celibacy, household life, retirement, and renunciation. During the first stage of life, up to 25 years of age, a man may be trained as a brahmachari under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, just to understand that woman is the real binding force in material existence. If one wants to get freedom from the contact of material bondage of conditional life, he must get free from the attraction for the form of woman. Woman, or the fair sex, is the enchanting principle for living entities. And the male form, especially in the human being, is meant for self-realization. The whole world is moving under the spell of womanly attraction. And as soon as a man becomes united with a woman, he at once becomes a victim of material bondage under a tight knot. The desires for lording it over the material world, under the intoxication of a false sense of lordship, specifically being just after the man's unification with woman. The desires for acquiring a house, possessing land, having children, and becoming prominent in society, the affection for community and the place of birth, and the hankering for wealth, which are all like phantasmagoria or illusory dreams, encumber a human being, and he is thus impeded in his progress towards self-realization, the real aim of life. The brahmachari, or a boy from the age of 5 years, especially from the higher caste, namely from the scholarly parents, the brahmanas, the administrative parents, the kshatriyas, or the mercantile or productive parents, the Vaishyas, is trained until 25 years age under the care of a bona fide guru or teacher, and under strict observance of discipline, he comes to understand the values of life, along with taking specific training for a livelihood. The brahmacharya is then allowed to go home and enter householder life and get married to a suitable woman. But there are many brahmacharis who do not go home to become householders, but continue the life of nashtika brahmacharis without any connection with women. They accept the order of sannyas, or the renounced order of life, knowing well that combination with woman is an unnecessary burden that checks self-realization. Since sex desire is very strong at a certain stage of life, the guru may allow the brahmachari to marry. This license is given to a brahmachari who is unable to continue the way of naishtika brahmacharya, and such discriminations are possible for the bona fide guru. A program of so-called family planning is needed. The householder who associates with woman under scriptural restrictions after a thorough training of brahmacharya cannot be a householder like the cats and dogs. Such a householder, after 50 years of age, would retire from the association of woman as a vanaprastha to be trained to live alone without the association of woman. When the practice is complete, the same retired householder becomes a sannyasi, strictly separate from woman, even from his married wife. Studying the whole scheme of disassociation from women, it appears that a woman is a stumbling block to self-realization, and the Lord appeared as the Narayan. The Lord appeared as Narayan to teach the principle of womanly disassociation with a vow in life. The demigods, being envious of the austere life of the rigid brahmacharis, would try to cause them to break their vows by dispatching soldiers of Cupid. But in the case of the Lord, it became an unsuccessful attempt when the celestial beauty saw that the Lord can produce innumerable such beauties by his mystic internal potency, and that there was consequently no need to be attracted by others externally. There is a common proverb that a confectioner is never attracted by sweetmeats. The confectioner, who is always manufacturing sweetmeats, has very little desire to eat them. Similarly, the Lord, by his pleasure potential powers, can produce innumerable spiritual beauties and not be the least attracted by the false beauties of the material creation. One who does not know alleges foolishly that Lord Krishna enjoyed women in his Rasa Lila in Vrindavan, or with his 16,000 married wives of Dwarka. Om Gyanatimurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, what can be added to a purport like that? I think we will all just have to individually reflect on these things. So, but I'll try to say a few things. Yeah, sometimes these things are very difficult to read and accept, but it's a whole process. It's part of the process of Krishna consciousness to gradually become detached from material enjoyment. Nevertheless, everything that we observe in this world is a reflection of a spiritual reality. And you know, we know from Shastra, and we can see from the examples in Vedic culture, that on the spiritual level, God exists as male, but he has consort, female. So, just as in the spiritual world, there are persons, individual, conscious persons of different categories. Some are Vishnu Tattva, they're on the level of Krishna. Krishna is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has his consort, Radharani, and he lives among householder couples. He has his mother and father, Nanda, Maharaj, and Yashoda. He lives in a village with cowherd boys, cowherd girls. So this gender concept is there on the spiritual level of reality. But there is no selfish enjoyment. There is nothing like that. If a soul has some desire for such things, for selfish enjoyment, then there is no place in the spiritual world for that soul. So, for such souls, they come to this material world. They are placed here. So, here, they have an opportunity to become more and more deeply involved in their attempts to dominate, control, and exploit others with the desire to accumulate wealth, power, strength. You know, there's another choice that Krishna offers, which is to reform one's mentality, reform one's consciousness, and come step by step back home, back to Godhead. And this involves some austerity or discipline. But especially in the human form of life, that opportunity is there. It's not there, except in some very rare cases, for souls and animal bodies or plant bodies. But in the human form of life, you know, we have that opportunity. But we have a choice. So this choice involves controlling the senses and engaging them in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's our condition now. We have material bodies, and we have to deal with them. And one of the strongest attachments is this attachment between the man and the woman. Now, in the system of bhakti yoga, as Krishna lays it out in Bhagavad Gita, he says that he himself is manifest in sex life carried out according to religious principles. And in that way, this attachment can be used in a way that takes one closer to this going back home, back to Godhead. But if one isn't trained as a brahmachari, you know, Srila Prabhupada was explaining in the purport that under this system of varna and ashrama, those who are trained in brahmacharis can either remain in that ashram and go on to renounce life, but they also have the opportunity, if they have the desire, to enter into the grihastha ashrama, householder life. And there it's possible to remain on the spiritual path, but it's very restricted. You know, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say they're grihastha brahmacharis. So it's something, you know, everyone who enters the Krishna consciousness movement has to contemplate and deal with. So that's the good way to do it. Then the other way is Pumsa Striya Mituni Bhava Metam Tayor Mito Hridaya Granti Mahu Togriya Shetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Mahoyam Aham Ameiti. And there again, this desire for selfish, independent enjoyment of the material senses becomes very prominent. And if civilization is based on that principle, then you get the kind of world that we see around us, a world of conflict, environmental destruction, all kinds of crazy things. But if there was another type of civilization, it was based on the principle of self-realization and tapasya, austerity. It would be a different kind of world. So, therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam warns, Nayam deho deho bhujam naloke, kashtan kaman artam vid bhujam ye, tapodivyam puchaka yena satvam, shudyad yasmad brahma saukyam tvanantam. And that means if you're in the human form of life, you shouldn't use it to get the same kind of enjoyment that an animal can get. In other words, we shouldn't simply engage in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That verse says, vidbhujamye, the stool-eating animals, like the hogs, they can have that. So don't do that. Tapodivyam puchrika yena sattvam. Engage in divine austerities. And by that, brahma saukyam tanantam, one can come to the spiritual platform and enjoy ever-increasing spiritual pleasure, which is unlimited. Unlimited. Any type of material pleasure has a beginning and an end. So for those who wish to achieve that, some austerity is necessary. Podivyam, control of the senses, engaging them in the activities of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam. What was the last one? Yeah. So, you know, these are some thoughts on this challenging purport and verse. I'll stop there. Any comment or question?
Thank you for a very nice class, very succinct and very comprehensive. So this is good for all of us. My question is as follows. In my own dealings or consultations or questions that I get personally, I'm often asked by people who are both householders and not householders. They say to me, you mention in your classes that we should give up sexual intercourse. And they ask me, why should I do that? It's very pleasurable. Why should I give up something which is pleasurable and I don't have something to replace it by? Therefore, you leave me in the lurch, starving for something that I want. So why don't you tell us how you would answer that person? You don't have to if you don't want to, by the way.
Yeah, it's always a challenge to deal with these things. But I might say that in order to do it, yes, you have to have a higher taste. It's not going to be in our movement. You know, it's not going to be forced on anyone. But if one wants that, if one is completely satisfied with one's life, well then fine. Just continue on doing what you're doing if that's what you want to do. But if you're feeling a little dissatisfied with that, you have to learn to develop a higher taste, which can be done. And not just theoretically, but the person has to actually experience something in the association of devotees, with the deities, with prasadam, something that gives them a higher taste. And then they'll automatically accept the restrictions. So, yeah, without having the higher taste, that's not really sufficient. And just being celibate doesn't necessarily take one back home, back to Godhead. There's something more that's required. He left. Okay. How would you answer it?
What is that?
How would you answer
it? How do I do it?
Yeah.
How do you know I do it? What I generally say is this, is that if you want something that's really valuable, you generally have to work for it. If you don't work for it, then you don't get it. So in the case of Krishna conscious devotee, the reason for giving it up is that you get something, as you were mentioning the word, a higher taste. Some of us may not know. That's an ISKCON-ism. All of us may not know what higher taste means, okay? A higher taste, as Judah Karma was meaning it, is more bliss, more joy, more happiness, more fulfillment, more satisfaction. Read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and see what Lord Chaitanya experiences throughout. We see there a higher taste. It means many ecstatic expressions. Expressions in the body, expressions in the mind, expressions in the feelings. One gets something which he could never even imagine. It's so great, it's so wonderful, it's so glorious that when you compare that to sexual intercourse, it's like comparing stale bread to freshly made bread. One tastes delicious, it smells delicious, and it gives one a fulfillment that no stale bread or sexual intercourse can ever give us. Any further questions?
Okay. I think we'll stop here.
Thank you, Guru.
Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.